So remember that. He has been having some issues. They did determine that he had an infection. Last night, so do remember that in your prayers as well. All right, stand with us this morning. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and we'll get right into our service. Brother Philip, will you open us this morning? Any birthdays? Sister Tanya had a birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday. Any anniversaries? All right. I don't mean to scare anybody. I know I sound like I'm in a barrel, at least to me, and I don't know how it sounds otherwise. We're on day two of retaking our allergy medicine after running out and refusing to buy anymore. Finally decided it's time we get some more. So they did that at the house anyways. Mariah did yesterday. She said it's time to get more allergy medicine. But if you do have you'll take a red book, turn to page 2. They were playing just a few minutes ago. We'll do How Great Thou Art. Awesome wonder. 16, Living by Faith.
Thank you.
6:48, I'll fly away. Sometimes I wake up and see the world and wished I could fly away right then. Sometimes I've gone through the day and at the end of the day I wished I could fly away right then. And other times I'm just going through the day and see the world and wished I'd just get flown away. You say, Brother Ernie, what do you mean? I'm ready to go to heaven. This world's a mess. And I can't remember the line and stuff, but there was one where somebody said something, and anyways, it was out of Andy Griffith, and after it was all said and done, Opie told Barney, he said he was leaving. He said, why? He said, you're a mess, and he was ready to go on. But anyways, do remember all those on our prayer request list. Continue to remember Brother Charlie and Sister Donna Fay in your prayers, Brother Mike's nephew Kyle. They got everything, and then they did MRI according to the update, and there was nothing left. And so that's God, you know. They thought they got everything they could get, but something was left, and then they found out nothing was left. And so that's God. Brother James Spears, continue to lift him up. As we said, Brother Jerry, lift him up in your prayers. Remember him, Sister Gail. This week, and then the family of the lady who was shot, which was her best friend, a real good friend. So remember the Isla Moore family in your prayers this morning. Just continue to lift them up as well. And Sister Serena Garrett, lift her up in your prayers today as well. Any others you want to call by name this morning? Sister Marlena, remember her as well. Unspoken. Amen. Stand with us this morning if you would. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ushers would come forward. Father, today we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, dear God, for the many blessings that you give us. Ask you, dear Lord, that you would just anoint and touch and have your way, Father, in our service today. Lord, may we glorify your name. Father, we pray for those unable to be with us, and we pray, Father, today for those that are here. God, either way, Father, we know that you know the needs of our hearts, the desires of our hearts, and we pray, dear God, meet it according to your plan, your will, your purpose, and help us, dear God, to receive and accept that. Lord, we ask you today that you would just anoint and touch the offering, that it be used for thy glory, for thine honor and thy praise. We just ask you, dear Lord, now, Father, have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Seated. Page 680, Glad Reunion Day. Thank you. Someone with a special.
Today, more than ever, we need a wall of prayer around each one.
Yes, we do. Sure, this morning we need a wall of prayer. Been listening to Brother Lonnie Burks preach this week a little bit, a few sermons that he's had in different places, and they've all ended up the same way: prayer. And we need prayer in our country today. We need prayer in our churches today. Prayer one for another. for short, that we could encourage and strengthen one another in the things of God. If you would this morning stand with us, open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. We're going to skip all the way down to verse 16. Psalms chapter 51, verse 16. It says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." Father, this morning we thank you, Lord, for your love, mercy, and grace. We thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be in your house, for each one who's here. Father, this morning we just ask you, Father, that you'd have your way in our hearts and souls. Dear God, give us the strength and guidance that we need today. And Lord, I pray this morning that your will would be done. In your name be glorified, Father, we ask in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I wonder today how many of us think about prayer that changes. You think about it this morning. We pray asking God for the things we want. And as I've said many times over in my own life, I had a tendency to tell God what to do. It wasn't so much asking Him for something as much as it was telling Him something. And my prayers would go like, "Heal brother so-and-so," or "Heal sister," "Save." It's all those things there. You know, it wasn't a asking prayer. It wasn't something that I went before God and I'd ask. It was more like I demanded of God. Give them a job. Do this. Do that. And the one thing I realized that God already knew what needed to be done. He didn't need me to tell Him what to do. He didn't need me to tell Him how to do it. He didn't need me to tell Him when to do it. But a lot of times that's the way we are. Instead, God wants us to come before Him and ask. And when we're asking, the Bible says, ask in faith, believing. So it's not that God needs to know what to do. It just needs to be that I go before God and ask Him, and I believe that God is faithful to do what He will do. Now you think about it. How many of you believe that it's God's will to save lost souls? I believe it's absolutely God's will to save lost souls. How do you know, Brother Ernie? "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God commended His love toward us, and not but were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." It's God's will to save souls. How do I know it's God's will to heal folks? Well, the Bible tells us in James, right? Ask in faith, believing. And we go, if there be any sick and afflicted among you, let them anoint them with oil. And we know these things. We see these things. But there's something today that I think might be missing. And I will say this morning. I know that it's been missing in my life because God revealed it to me. I wonder if it's not missing in all of our lives to some aspect, and therefore God would have us preach about it today. But look at what David says. He goes through the verses here. He declares his life and basically his sinfulness and what he would do. He then declares and asks God basically to cleanse him, to keep him where he needs to be, creating him a clean heart. In verse 10, he says, "Cast him not away from thy spirit, restore his joy unto him." And when all this happens, he says in verse 13, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted." When David is restored in his faithfulness to God, when David is forgiven of his sins against God and towards God and that he done, David realizes that once he is restored, once he's got a created clean heart in him, and once that joy has been restored, the salvation of God, then David is able to actually do something. But David tells us something in verse 16 that in the first few verses that we look over. We don't see them. And David says, "For thou desirest not sacrifices." Now, when you think about a sacrifice, what do we know about the Old Testament? The Old Testament, they had a sacrifice a day that they did. Then there was the sacrifices that they did every year. All the time doing a sacrifice. And here's the deal. They did the sacrifice according to what God's standard and God's word was. And at one point, they did so with joy. They did so with faith. They did so because they believed what God said would happen. And therefore they sacrificed according to the word of God, according to the will of God, but with their hearts, with their minds, with their bodies. They worshiped during the sacrifice. They did so because they believed what God said. Then there come a time that they just did the sacrifice. Now think about this for just a second. They just did the ritual of it. Oh, God says that I got to offer a bullock today. So we're going to go down here. We're going to give the priest a bullock, or we're going to go do whatever. God said, if I did this, I need to do that. So I'm going to go do that. They did it, but they didn't do it with their heart. They didn't do it out of love. They didn't do it out of desire. Wasn't done out of faith. It was done out of just pure action. It did not mean anything. Remember, God said that when they would offer their sacrifices, He would pay no mind to it. When they'd burn their incense, it would not come before Him. It wasn't going to be anything that He was going to hold to. It wasn't going to be anything that meant anything to Him in this aspect. Because they did what He said, but they did not do it with the heart. They did not do it with faith. They did not do it with trust. What good is a sacrifice if there's no belief in what you're sacrificing is accomplishing anything? You think about it. But they went on and did it. It's kind of like this morning, and I bring it down to us. It's kind of like showing up for church. What good is coming to church, showing up in the house of God, if you don't believe God's got anything to say? Not me, God. Think about it for a second. What good is it coming here if you believe that when you pray or you don't pray or you sing or you don't sing, it doesn't matter because it doesn't mean anything? I'm afraid sometimes we come to church and we do the things we do because we're trying to be good enough or do enough. I thought about it this way this morning. How many of us know somebody who's absolutely lost? They're absolutely lost. How many of us know somebody we wonder whether or not they're lost? We wonder whether or not they're saved. If you stop to think about it, we have questions about people, about whether they're lost or they're saved even. And then here's the deal. How many of us know people that we hope are saved? Think about that one. That's scarier than the rest. I hope they're saved. What makes us think they're not? Just think for a second. Well, Brother Ernie, they go to church. They carry their Bible. They read. They'll tell me they pray. But outside of that, I never see anything in Jesus. They don't talk about God. They don't talk about Jesus. I hope. You know, the Bible tells us there is none good, no, not one. Or none righteous, rather, no, not one. And then it says there is none good other than God. You think about it this morning. If we're hoping in this aspect, we're not sure. Uncertainty causes a lot of problems in my life. I'm going to tell you that. I don't like to be uncertain. You know? If I'm uncertain, I get worried. I begin to get stressed. If I'm uncertain, I might hide. Anybody do that? Uncertainty causes you to hide, withdraw. You're not sure, so you're not going to go out. You're not going to do things. But if I'm sure, I have no problem with declaring it. But I think too many of us are hoping, not knowing. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. The word contrite there means one of sorrow, repentance, one that understands it needs something more. The sacrifice of God is not the burnt offering. You understand? It's not the bullock. It's not the dove. It's not the pigeon. It's not the lamb in the regards as the animal lamb. All of those things they do because they do them. But when it's done in faith, when it's done in belief, when it's done in absolute assurance that what I'm doing, I know that God is honoring this. Why? Because it's in my heart to trust in God. It's in my heart to follow God. It's in my heart to declare the things of God. Then do I realize, and then do I know that I'm doing what I need to do for God. And the only thing is that it's important that God knows my heart. O God, thou wilt not despise the broken spirit, broken and contrite heart. If you think about it this way, verse 16, thou desirest not sacrifices. David could have offered all night long, would have done no good, if he didn't have a heart set towards God. David could have offered everything he had, done no good, if all he was trying to do was buy off God. You know, there's sometimes people try to buy off God. Can I tell you something? You can't buy God. He already owns everything. You didn't get it unless He gave it to you. We don't understand that because we think we go out and we earn it. We work hard and we get it. Or we worked all of our lives, we deserve it. I'm just here to tell you, if God don't give it, you don't get it. And one of these days, God's going to be done with the giving. And He's going to start doing some taking. Now, how many of you want to go to heaven on that day?
Amen.
I'll tell you right now. It's not just the act, but it has to come from the heart. Our prayer lives sometimes are a reflection of our religious lives. There's no brokenness. There's no humbleness. I don't know how many times I've heard Chronicles 7:14 read, spoken, we talked about. I know I did before we left on COVID. I know that Brother Max did while we was gone. I don't know how many preachers have been going over and talking about 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. If my people are caught, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me in some aspect to think that we hear that verse all the time and just don't get it. Humble. Pray. Seek. Think about these things. Those things come from the heart. Those are actions that come out of the heart, not just something that we think about doing and we don't do it. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 there. Elijah is talking or challenging, I guess you might say this, the prophets of Baal. But he comes to the children of Israel. And it says this, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? What is the opinion of importance this morning? Are we going to serve Baal? Are we going to serve God? How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Why did they not answer a word? Because they didn't know in their own heart at the time. They'd been challenged to make up their minds. You think about it this morning. We got to make up our mind what our heart is going to be set towards. Who our heart is going to be set towards? Is it going to be towards God and the things of God? I mean, are we going to just go through the routines and hope at the end that we're good enough? Are we done enough good? Are we going to challenge ourselves and challenge our kids, our grandkids, our friends, our neighbors, our brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, however it might be that you have a circle around you? Are we going to just hope, or are we going to make a difference and challenge that a difference is made? One of the things Brother Lonnie Burke said that has stuck with my mind, of course, it's because I heard it this morning, but it stuck. Travail until you prevail. You think about that. What we used to call that, church? Praying through. Pray through till you got to not to the point to where you got God's ear, but where God's got your ear. Not till you got God's heart, but until God's got your heart. Not until God knew you was a sinner, but until you knew you was forgiven of your sins. Praying through was not getting through to heaven. It's heaven getting through to you. It changed your life. Amen. We called it praying through because they stayed until they got what they needed. And what they needed was not to know, but to know. Because they already knew about God. Now they needed to know God. They needed to know the power, as Paul said, the power of the resurrection. To understand that the suffering of Christ was not in vain, but was for my sins and your sins. And though we may suffer from the world, we're at peace with God because God's having his way with us. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now think about it. Elijah says, how long halt you between two opinions? You ever had somebody tell you, well, brother, you're doing good enough? By whose account? Your account, my account, or God's account? Remember, you and I see one another's actions, but God sees our heart. We see one another's efforts. God sees the reason behind the effort. And we can say, well, I see you trying. But God may say, I see you going through the emotions. I see you showing up, but you're not present. I see you doing this, but it's not real. It happens, but it don't take place. There's nothing changed. There's nothing going on. And if you think about it this way, this morning, church, when we come before God, the Bible says that we must diligently seek him and believe he is a rewarder of them that do diligently seek him. We ought to worship him in sincerity and truth. We ought to honor and glorify him, not out of fear, but out of love and admiration. We say, well, Brother Ernie, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do you understand the two things there? The beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. Understanding who he is. Understanding he has authority. Understanding he has power. Understanding he's the one you will stand before and I will stand before and give an account. Understand that he has the power to either throw us down into a devil's hell or to bring us up into a heavenly kingdom. But then he says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of God, understanding who He is, and then following that up with a love for God, which causes us to follow Him, desire Him. I wonder today how many of us get caught up more in the watching than in the praying. Let me think about this for just a second. Something, and I pray to God it doesn't happen, but something tragic happens. We don't know what it is, but just something tragic. And you see the tragedy. How many of us will stand there and watch the tragedy versus fall on our face before God pleading for the answer, pleading for the help, pleading for the salvation of the soul if it's lost? We get caught up in watching the event instead of seeking God for the event. Oftentimes I've wondered, and if you've never been through this, and I know Kayla has, somebody is before you, and you attempt to save their life or bring life back into them, and it doesn't happen. Young man dropped his mom off at work. Springdale was on his way back to high school in Farmington. Hydroplane went off the road, hit one of those big signs with the thick poles right in the driver's side door. Bent that door open and out. And he's in the car, and he ain't breathing. He ain't moving. He ain't responding. He ain't got a pulse. From the time he hit that thing to the time I got back to him, probably 2 minutes at the most. They said, try CPR. I blew a breath into him, and I could hear it go all the way through, inside his lungs, outside the lungs, and into the belly. Every time I blew a breath, all you heard was gurgle. It was going nowheres. I tried all I could in action. For days, weeks, months after that, every time I drove past that spot, I wondered, what else could I have done? I kept coming up with the same answer. Nothing. 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 Chest compressions didn't do anything. Breathing didn't do anything. Nothing. I can tell you tonight, this morning, that I can remember that day vividly. The one thing I do not remember doing was praying. Well, Brother Arnie, listen to me, church. We get so caught up in the action, sometimes we forget to pray for the answers, for the help. I don't know who else was around me that day. There was another gentleman who stopped. He was talking to 911 on the phone there. And as he's talking to them, and I'm trying, when I'm, I don't know who else is stopping. I just wonder, did anybody stop and really pray? Because I can remember I was so caught up in the action, I forgot to pray. And we can go on down the road and we can think, well, Brother Ernie, it was his time. He didn't. There was nothing you could have done. But I've wondered time since then, was that young man ready to meet God when he met him? Are you and I ready to meet God today if we should meet Him? I'm not talking about through action. I'm talking about through reality. Are we honest and truly ready to meet God? Have we chosen God over everything else? Is it important for us to not just have the opportunity to show up, but to show up knowing we've done what God would have us to do, prepared for what God would have us to do, knowing that God, in the aspect of this, that God's going to show up with me. And when we get there, I don't have to worry about what I haven't done, because I know that God has had His way and that God will have His way. Sometimes I wonder, do we show up hoping, believing, thinking, or doubting? If a lost soul shows up today, will they be saved? I don't know. Why don't you know? That's between them and God. The Bible tells me a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, whether or not that person gets saved, that's a choice they make. But whether or not God can work and move in that life, that's a choice you and I make. Whether we're hinderers or we're helpers. That broken, contrite spirit, the one that says, God, I am a sinner. I'm not worthy, but dear God, I'm willing. If you're willing to save me, I'm willing to serve you. But I know I'm not worthy of it. Wonder how many of us this morning hope our loved ones are ready to meet the Lord versus knowing it. We answered the question, you know, I'm ready to meet God. If God called me today, I'm ready to go. I'm not asking you to know or say anything about it, but I want you to think about it this way. That's not something to say lightly. So if we step beyond ourselves, how about our loved ones? How about our sons and our daughters? Our grandchildren, our husbands, our wives, our brothers, our sisters. If they're called out today, are they ready to meet God? And if not, does that not do something to us? Well, Brother Ernie, I pray for them. If you fed them the way you pray for them, would they starve to death? You think about it this morning. Church, the decision we've got to make today is whether or not we're ready. And then what are we doing to help others be ready? Because just showing up is not going to do it. The act without the heart doesn't mean anything. The heart without the act doesn't mean anything. But I know this for a fact. That if all I've got is a penny, and I give God that penny with all of my heart, God sees it. And to Him, that's special. Why'd you bring money into it? Not talking about money. I'm just talking about amount. You give God everything. God sees it. But you hold back from God, He knows it too. What are we holding back? What are we giving? What are we expecting? What is the end result? Would you stand this morning? Father, today we come before You, Lord, so grateful, so thankful, dear God, for Your mercy. Thankful, dear God, today for the opportunity, Lord, to be in Your house. For each one who's here. We ask You, Father, today, help us, Lord. Search our hearts, dear God. Show us, Lord, who we are. So we'll know who we need to be. Father, for Thy name's sake. Dear God, I pray today that You'd help us, Lord, become sincere. Father, our service to Thee, but also our love for others. Concerned about their salvation. Concerned about our lives being a reflection of You. Lord, we ask You, Father, today, help us, dear God, these things we pray. Would You this morning come, whatever